This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, welcome back. Hour number two. Chris, hello. Tony Gwynn Jr. down at Petco Park, where the Padres have returned after, it was a bad road trip. Hopefully they'll have a good homestand. It starts tonight against the Milwaukee Brewers, the Brew Crew, in town for four. Starting this evening, Adam Major be on the mound for the Padres. Throw strikes, young man.
Please.
Throw strikes, young man. Take your chances. Nobody's really hit him yet, but he hasn't thrown enough strikes to be hit.
That's what I was going to say.
Right. That's the problem. So, yeah, throw some strikes. Trust your stuff. And, let's see what happens tonight. Padres do have the better fortune of facing a right-handed starter tonight, Bryce Wilson from Milwaukee. As a matter of fact, it'll be four consecutive right-handed starters in this Milwaukee series. Don't look now, though. The Nationals will be bringing in three consecutive lefties next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, including our old friend Mackenzie Gore.
Ooh, that's going to be interesting.
That will be, but that's next week. Tonight we got the Brew Crew. Padres in the middle of a pack that is as crowded as I've ever seen. I know it's only June 20th, but nine teams in the National League right now are within a game and a half of each other, and only two of those nine are going to make the playoffs. So I know it's too early. Tony's right. It's way too early. It's only June. But the games matter. Let's be honest. They do. And, just hopefully somehow, some way, the Padres will climb back to and then away from the 500 mark.
I'm telling you, I'm starting to get people on my movement of not caring about the record until August 1st. I've had many people tell me already that this is the new thing they're doing. No, I'm being serious because they had a terrible series in Philadelphia. And you know what, Chris?
What?
I didn't care.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't care.
Yeah. Well,
because I don't
else
need
did.
To care until August 1st.
Everybody else cared, and you should care because if they lose about 20 in a row right now, August 1st won't matter.
Yes, I understand that. If they start losing 20 in a row, then
you might pay attention at that point.
I may.
Well, they're not going to lose 20 in a row. This team is destined to finish 81-81, and the hope is that that'll be good enough to get into the playoffs, which right now, 500 would be good enough to get into the playoffs. So,
you know what we've seen the last couple of years with this new wild card thing is that there are teams that, are close to the 500 mark that are definitely in the mix at the end of the year, and it has been that way each year.
Like I said, there's nine teams right now. So which of those two is going to step forward, if any, and claim those last two wild card positions? Let's see. Tony is off right now for a moment. He's got to do a couple of things getting ready for tonight's broadcast. But he rejoins me in about 10 minutes. And he and I are going to take a little look at the life and times of the great Willie Mays, who, as you know, passed a couple of days ago. So we'll get to that. Stick around for that. Scraby is alongside with his bum shoulder and all. Lakers have a new head coach. J.J. Redick is in. 4-year contract.
I heard they had to wait until his podcast taping was over before.
He's not still going to do that podcast with LeBron James now.
I'm listening because that's a crazy dynamic. Head coach and star player podcast.
Seems a little odd.
It does seem really odd.
I'm heartbroken. Now the Chicago Bulls.
I saw this.
Have just traded one of my favorite players in the league. Alex Caruso goes to Oklahoma City. For guard Josh Giddey. That's a good trade.
Giddey.
Probably for both teams. Oklahoma City needs a great role player, defensive player. Caruso is that. And Giddey's young. He's 21 years old. He's got a lot of talent. Bulls could use, the skill. So, yeah, but I'm sorry to see Caruso go.
Yeah.
I'm always a fan of a great defensive player who does everything out there to try and help you win games. One other quick note before we get to the Daily Gambit. According to sources, the NCAA is presenting tournament options to the Division I conference commissioners for a 72 or 76 team NCAA basketball tournament.
You know, I just can't wait for college sports to eat themselves, because this is basically what they're going to do. I'm so tired of it. 60? And the only reason is because they want more money.
Yes, they want more games, more money.
As
follow
Nick
the
is
money.
Doing.
But 76 teams now apparently are going to get into the NCAA tournament. It's all being waited to be voted upon. Look, it was 64 for ages. 68, they snuck in the first four the last, 10 years?
Mm-hmm.
Now 76. It doesn't matter that much to me, but I think 76 is just the next step to what I really don't want, and that's 128. Or, God forbid, just letting every team in. Just having a tournament where every team makes it.
I mean, it's perfect the way it is.
So do I.
And that's not me being a...
If it ain't broke, don't fix it,
because
as the saying goes.
There's a certain pressure to be good enough to make the tournament.
Right. But the argument is that there's five or six teams that get left out each year. But you know what? If you go to 76, then the next five teams after that will have an argument that they were left out.
No,
there's always going to be somebody left out unless you include every team. So stop using that as an excuse for expanding the field.
I talked about this last week, but the Big 12 football conference is shopping their name so that they can become... So they're going to give away the Big 12. They're going to be calling it...
They want to be
the AFLAC 12 or something like that.
They want to be the Preparation H Big 12 or something.
I hope that would be amazing. But like college sports to me...
That was a good one.
That's Nick, everybody. He's running the board for us. College sports to me right now is becoming so greedy that I don't even want to deal with it.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I'm not... I'm saying okay because I'm kind of right with you.
Yeah.
College sports is bugging me right now. All right, let's do a little daily gambit. Check some winners and losers out.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by the Tropical Smoothie Cafe. Join the free smoothie party at Tropical Smoothie Cafe on June 21st, which is tomorrow, for National Smoothie Day, Chris. Yes, we're treating our Tropic Rewards members to a free smoothie with bowl or food purchase. Order in-app, online, or pop by the cafe for a little sip and chill. Three cheers to our Tropic fam. Terms and conditions apply.
You know what else tomorrow is? It's the longest day of the year.
Oh, the summer solstice.
The sun is out for as long as it is all year tomorrow.
And guess what is happening on Saturday? Chris Ello's birthday, everybody. He's going to be 93 years old, the same as Willie Mays.
happy early birthday, Chris.
All righty. Yes, 93 or so. It feels that way sometimes having to work with you on a daily basis.
I can understand why.
The years add up.
All right, go for it.
All right, I don't think we have any carryover bets because we really haven't done a show all week.
You're right.
You know, NBA Finals finished. We talked about Stanley Cup. They get back to work tomorrow night with Game 6 in Edmonton. It's getting interesting now, right? Florida won the first three.
Mm-hmm.
Edmonton has not only won the last two, but they have really kind of dominated play. So, you know, we'll see. That could be about a once in every 20 years occurrence where a team can come from 3-0 down to win a best-of-seven series. Edmonton still has a long way to go, though. Game 6 is tomorrow night. The other thing that's been going on, don't know if you've been checking in on the College World Series at all.
Here and there.
All right, Tennessee and Texas A&M, which kind of bugs me because it's all SEC and I get tired hearing about the SEC. But it is what it is. They have the best teams and they'll be playing for the championship starting tomorrow night, a best of three final series. Some games tonight include the WNBA's New York Liberty, favored by 14.5 points over your favorite team, Scraby, the L.A. Sparks. I don't know why they're your favorite team.
Hey, the Fever are getting good.
Fever's improving. Yes. They've been playing a little softer part of their schedule. But, yeah, you know, Caitlin Clark, they could just get through all the noise and let her play. You know, she's doing all right.
Yeah.
She really is. She had a big game last night. Cameron Brink, the young star for the L.A. Sparks out of Stanford, suffered the old torn ACL, though,
no,
a couple days ago.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I think she's out for the year.
That was exciting.
And it was just so...
I feel bad for her.
So stinky because she didn't...
Stinky.
Well, I'm sorry.
You were
going
to say a swear word.
Yeah. She didn't... There was no contact. She just took a bad step trying to dribble
That's
down the lane.
Such a bummer.
The knee goes, and you hate to see
she's
something
been really
like that.
Featured big time.
Really, she's been a big part of the resurgence of this league, so that's too bad.
That is too bad.
So anyway, it's the Liberty and the Sparks in New York.
I'm going Sparks just to
You're
cover.
You're
going
to take the Sparks just for Cameron?
No, just for the 14.5 points that they're getting.
All right, I'm going to say that the Sparks are down and out because she's hurt, and I'll take New York. Give the big point spread there. Who scores more points tonight in that game? Is it Brianna Stewart of the Liberty or Sabrina Ionescu of the Liberty?
Good.
They're both on the Olympic team. They're both phenomenal players. I think Stewart, people don't remember this. She was the NCAA MVP and NCAA champion, I believe, all 4 years she was at UConn.
Wow.
Not one, two, every year.
Not one, not
right.
two.
Yeah. She's good.
Ionescu
is very good, too. I'll take Ionescu after all that great talk of Stewart.
I was going to say.
I'll give Ionescu the night.
Brianna Stewart is averaging 19-9.
Right.
Let's see where Ionescu is. I just need to do this for my own research.
Do a little
I'm
research.
Gambling
That's
responsibly.
Fine.
The
That's
New York
fine.
Liberty
you
are 12-3. For some reason, the internet in this building today is incredibly slow, and it's really bothering me.
Sorry about that.
Everything's really bothering me today.
Does seem that way.
Okay, come on. This is ridiculous. I should be able to get to the roster page a little bit closer or quicker than this. Sabrina Ionescu.
Don't worry. We still have an hour left on the show, so
okay,
take
good,
your time.
Good, good. Here I am. 17-4, 17-4-6.
All right, so 19 or 17. Who are you taking?
I'm going to go against you. I'm going to take
Brianna Stewart. Okay, Padres are home. Brewers are favored by 1.5 runs tonight.
It's the first
run line. Who you like?
I don't know, Chris.
Got any faith?
I have faith,
in the Friars, Mazur's pitching, you probably have less faith with that in mind.
I'm
going
to go
home where they've been better.
I'm sorry, Brewers.
Wow. Sorry, Brewers, he says.
I mean, what have they shown me?
Who, the Padres?
Yeah.
That they're a 500 team.
Exactly.
And that's why they're going to win tonight, because they're under 500, and they've got to win a couple to get back to 500.
And you get the +1.5.
I'll take the runs. Who pitches longer tonight? More innings? Bryce Wilson of Milwaukee, Andy Mazur. Not
Adam.
Andy. I keep calling him Andy, and we have been since the very beginning. Sorry about that. It's in reference to the former broadcaster. Adam Mazur or Bryce Wilson, I'll take... Mazur, come on. Throw some strikes. Padres got to get deep in the bullpen.
Who are we picking for this?
I don't know. I'm talking out loud.
Is it the winner or what?
Innings pitched.
Innings pitched.
Who pitches longer? Who gets more outs? Mazur or Bryce Wilson?
I'll just tell you right now, Bryce Wilson. I'm out right now.
Wow.
I'm out.
Well, you don't care.
No, I do care.
No, you said you don't care. You're not going to care until August 1st. I'll take Mazur just for fun. Giants and Cardinals tonight. They're playing it's not an exhibition game. It's a real game. Counts in the standings. They're playing down at Rickwood Field in Alabama. A lot of emotions tonight. Tony and I have our little tribute to Willie Mays coming up in the next segment. Giants are favored by 1.5 over the Cardinals. You almost have to take the Giants here.
Yeah, I feel like they're going to play for Willie.
Play for Willie.
Play for the Say Hey Kid.
All right. There you go. All right. There's our Daily Gambit. We will check a little traffic, and then Tony rejoins me. Real poignant little sound here from the other day. Dave Fleming is one of the best in the business on KNBR, the Giants network, having to announce the passing of Willie Mays during the game the other night. Hear a little of that, and then Tony and I have our tribute to the Say Hey Kid next.
So we found out just a little while ago, and the Giants have now made an announcement. Here's a ground ball to second. Estrada throws out Pete Crow Armstrong, the all-time greatest Giant. Number 24, Willie Mays, has passed away today at the age of 93. And right as we get ready to head to his hometown and honor the great Willie Mays, we have to say goodbye.
That was Dave Fleming on the KNBR Giants broadcast just a couple of days ago, as we're all well aware. Welcome back to Gwynn and Chris, Crisello. And, of course, Tony Gwynn Jr., 48 hours or so ago, we all found out the news. That's how Dave Fleming had to pass it along to Giants fans. Very poignant to listen to him have to make it through. He barely could speak the words. And, yeah. Tony, it's... you know, it's been a couple of days, but, you know, this is not the passing of a legend. This is a passing of something even more than that. You know, Willie Mays, just the, there's specialness in just the very name, Willie Mays. It brings a spark to everybody, and nothing says baseball like Willie Mays and his passing. I'm sure the Padres will, you know, make mention of it before the game tonight as they get back home.
Yeah, there was a picture kind of going around of Martin Luther King meeting Willie Mays, looked like for the first time. And you talked about, you just finished saying how he was more than like a legend, right? And you could see that in Martin Luther King's face as he's meeting him for the first time was one of like, wow, that's Willie Mays right there, you know?
Imagine Martin Luther King thinking that about anyone.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, that just kind of, you know, speaks to the way... I mean, listen, Dave Fleming is far removed from Willie Mays' time of playing.
Right.
But you see the, still the emotion that he had in trying to deliver the news that Willie Mays has passed away. And I think you see it in so many different generations. Again, this is another, you know, why Willie Mays is different. I mean, that touched, obviously, the remaining players that are still around from his generation, the generation after. So you're talking like the Ozzie Smiths, the Eddie Murrays of the world, the generation after that. So now you're talking the Barry Bonds, the Ken Griffeys, then the generation after that. You're talking the CC Sabathias, you're talking, you know, guys who played in my era, and the generation after that, the guys who are playing now. Look how long that stretches.
Yeah.
In terms of how many generations of baseball players he's touched. And so obviously this is a void that can't be replaced.
Yeah, very well said, Tony. I mean, it's been 50 years since Willie Mays suited up and played in a big league ballgame. 1973, the World Series, and he was a shell of himself playing for the New York Mets. And, you know, that's a memory that a lot of people have, unfortunately, because it was color television and, you know, people got a chance to see. But that wasn't Willie Mays. That was just the very tail end of it. I mean, his career started in 1951. And, you know, everything that he accomplished has been gone over and over. I'm curious, did you ever get a chance to, I mean, I never got a chance to be in a room with Willie Mays. I don't know, did you, Tony, or did your dad?
Yes.
I imagine your dad did.
I got to be in the same room as Willie Mays a couple times. I know my dad did.
Yeah.
You know, now they can have many more conversations together. But, yeah, no, I think, you know, It's one of those things that, I mean, I think we all knew, you know, Willie was getting older, but it just never feels like that day's ever going to come. And then when it comes, I mean, when I heard the news, like, instant sadness came across my, you know, my chest.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's how all of baseball is feeling right now.
You know, Tony, you were the one several years ago that opened my eyes to this way of thinking. And what I'm talking about is, I believe for the better part of my life, most people felt that Babe Ruth was the greatest baseball player of all time. He hit, he pitched, he was the very sport, the very nature of the sport. But I think your way of explaining to all of us that Babe Ruth did not play in an integrated league, and it's something that needs to be, you know, worked into the equation. You know, black players were not allowed to play baseball when Babe Ruth played. Now, when Willie Mays came in, the sport had just been integrated a few years earlier. And I think now that we all take everything into account, it seems like the torch has passed to a certain extent. I don't know anybody who really doesn't go out and say that they believe Willie Mays is the greatest player of all time.
Yeah.
He's a five-tool player. The only reason Willie Mays is a five-tool player is because they don't have six tools. Right? I mean, if there was something else about a baseball player, he had it. You know, whether it was instinctual ability to, you know, to run the bases the way he did, the way he was able to get a break on the ball. He didn't have any analytics to line him up in center field when a batter came up. He just knew instinctually where to be, and if he wasn't in the right spot, he ran the ball down anywhere, anyway. You know, so it's really difficult for us to couch, you know, exactly how great he was. There's not enough footage of him, unfortunately, for us to see. But I think he goes down now as the greatest ever, Tony.
Oh, and by the way, my man missed a whole year and some change, almost 2 years,
right,
for the war. Just imagine what his numbers would have looked like at that point, you know, if he had had the opportunity to keep going. Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, I think, you know, in terms of being, you know, considered the greatest player, I mean, his is a valid, you know, as you said, the game was integrated. You know, Jackie Robinson came in what, 47? Seven.
And Willie came in 51, was his rookie year. So
I mean, if just look at the MVPs after the game is integrated. I mean, there's many guys, and a lot of people who were around that time and or saw Willie play said that he should have won far more than the two that he won.
Right. The Giants really weren't all that great during that era, and that's what kept him from winning quite a few more. I want to ask you one more thing, Tony, on the Willie Mays subject, because it came up in our roundtable. I think it's interesting because we talk about players then versus players today. And Willie Mays was, I don't know, maybe 5'10", 5'11", 175, 180 pounds. Mm.
He wasn't Aaron Judge stature?
No. I mean, he wasn't a hulking figure by any stretch. You know, was he as athletic as some of these guys? Did he have the video capabilities of your dad or the players, what they use today? And so people say, could Willie Mays, you know, played well today? Could he have hit a 100-mile-per-hour fastball? I don't know. You might be able to say about some of the guys, but I think Willie would have found a way.
You know, it's kind of a lame argument to me in some ways, and here's why. If Willie Mays, as we know him, grew up in the same time frame, he would have had all of the luxuries that the players now have, right? He would have, you know, been exposed to the velocity a lot earlier. Like, if you just took him, like, if we, like, went back in time and I snatched Willie Mays out of the 50s, and he had never, encountered any of the stuff I'm about to drop him in.
I can't believe you're doing that to Tony.
And I'm about
Jr.
to drop him into right now. Yeah, I mean, it might be a little bit different. But if he grew up, same athlete, same size in today's day and age, of course he would have been able to, I think. I don't think it's much of a question. Now, you know, obviously they didn't have that we have now, right? I mean, If you would have gave Willie Mays a full-on training facility like the ones we have now, I have zero doubt.
A full year to do it?
Yeah, I have zero. No, not even given it. Like, if he'd have just grown up around that time,
this era,
no doubt that he would have been the same Willie Mays. No doubt.
Yeah, I agree, Tony. Well, tonight the Padres play their first home game since the passing of the legendary Willie Mays. I know the Giants aren't in town. It's the Brewers, but I fully expect that.
The Giants are in Willie Mays' hometown, Rickwood Field,
right.
Tonight.
Yes, they're playing that game in St. Louis, which
is wild.
Kind of dedicated to the whole Willie Mays thing. Yeah.
Yeah,
the timing of that is... It's hard to imagine.
It's really
honestly
hard to imagine.
It's going to be a lot of emotion there, but I think there'll even be some emotion out at Petco Park. I believe that the Padres are going to certainly make mention of it, and I know one person will be standing up applauding, and that'll be me, and probably just about everybody else.
So I take it you're coming to the game today.
I'm coming to the game today.
Right.
So I will see you guys later tonight.
Look,
yeah, well, this is
guy.
An important homestand. I got to get out there.
Oh, it's an important homestand. Chris says
that's right. All right, more Gwen and Chris coming up as we work our way towards Sam Levitt's pregame show and also our roundtable, which precedes that at about 4:30 this afternoon on 97.3 The Fan.
Welcome back. This hour, 97.3 The Fan, brought to you by Tropical Smoothie Cafe. Join the free smoothie party. It's at Tropical Smoothie Cafe tomorrow, June 21st. It's National Smoothie Day, and we're treating our Tropic Rewards members to a free smoothie with a bowl or food purchase order in the app, online, or pop by the cafe for a little sip and chill. Three cheers to our Tropic fam. Terms and conditions apply. All right, Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Mr. Scraby. One last thing on Willie Mays. This is like highbrow. Joe Garagiola telling the story. Remember the broadcaster Garagiola played for the Cardinals previous to that. But talking about Willie Mays, told the story that somebody said Mays' defense was so good that his glove was where triples go to die.
I like that.
I love that line. Triples go to die, Willie Mays. All right. We got the Big Five coming up here, and then we'll have Chris versus the fans at the top of the hour. Going towards 4:30 in the Padre Roundtable discussion, commercial-free Padre talk. Right now, Gwen and Chris talk after traffic.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
And if you love Mediterranean food, try Spiro's for authentic Mediterranean cuisine in Coronado or La Jolla for dining or takeout options. Visit SpirosCuisine.com, Chris.
And don't forget, they're at Petco Park.
So they
if you're
are.
Going to the game tonight, grab a little Spiro's.
I heard Chris is possibly going to the game tonight, so...
Could be out
are
there.
Are you going to be grabbing Spiro's?
I should.
You should.
Tell them who I am.
Yeah, you should.
If you walk up and they're like, excuse me, sir, who are
yes,
you?
Yes, right.
Like,
I'll try that.
I am Mr. Spiro's.
Spiro's, yes.
All right.
Number five.
So, last night, Yu Darvish made the start for the Fort Wayne Tin Caps, a rehab start. They were playing the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers, which is a fun name, and they fell behind quickly. Darvish pitched 3 1/3 innings and gave up 1 home run, 7 hits, 6 earned runs, in 1 walk while striking out 3 batters as the Tin Caps lost 8-3. Darvish said after the game, quote, I was able to throw most of my pitches, which was good. I thought the splitter and the slider were working very nicely. Now it's time to get back on the big league mound and get into real competition, end quote, which I thought was a strange way to say it after you give up 8 runs. But Tony, what is the goal of a rehab start in this case? Because I think immediately fans see this and be like, oh gosh, he gave up all these runs to a high A team. What's wrong with him? But what do you think is the goal for this in this case?
To come back healthy. That is the only goal. You're not down there to punch out 15. You're just down there to come back healthy. And to know that you can actually, you know, do the job. For him, You know, they needed him to go five plus innings. And so, can he do that? Can he get through a start that has no ramifications on his ball club, and where he can, you know, get some live, real game action ABs? The only place you can do that is down in the minor leagues. And so, listen, I have been one of those guys who is a minor leaguer facing a big leaguer. You're 1,000% trying to have the best game of your
life.
Locked in. 100%. You know it probably 2 days before. Oh, such and such rehab and all. You make sure that day is right. And it's not new for a guy to go down there and get hit up a little bit. That's kind of how it usually goes, right? It's almost like the same adrenaline you get in the third week of spring training when you're throwing the baseball. Just like, all right, just got to get through this so I can get to the real thing here. And so I'm just happy that you reported that he was healthy. I mean, the mere fact that he was saying that the slider and the split worked nicely means in my mind that he's taking it a whole lot serious than some other guys do when they go down there for rehab starts. So that's a good thing.
Chris, what is the purpose of a rehab start in this case?
Well, there's two things. One is everything that Tony said, and I think that was probably accomplished by you, Darvish. The second thing was that when you go down to make a rehab start like that for the kids in high A, you bring your checkbook with you, and you buy a spread to end all spreads and have it delivered to the clubhouse.
And he did.
And you, Darvish, did that. So kudos to you, Darvish, for taking care of those guys down there.
That is the other thing you're doing.
That's right.
Young tyke, right? You're either checking your calendar like, oh, I'm going to get this dude. I'm going to bust his you-know-what. or you're going to say, oh, we got a good after-game meal today.
Yeah. I'll say one thing, though. If the Tin Caps lose the pennant down there by one game, they can look back to you, Darvish's start, and, you know.
Yes. Good for you,
though. Those young guys in September when they're, like, on E, are like, that darn you, Darvish, he came down here and lost us a game. Now our season's over.
Yep.
He's going to get back into quote-unquote real competition soon, guys.
That's number four.
At least he didn't destroy any TVs.
You know what the saying is? You know, likey, play better.
Yes, that's the saying. You know,
you can
likey.
Come on up to where the real competition is, young men.
Yes, he's not Chris Sale. He didn't destroy TV either, so we're good with that. All right, we talked about it a little bit earlier, but Willie Mays and all of that. Tonight, the Giants and Cardinals are going to square off in their first regular season ALNL. That was tough. Game ever played at historic Rickwood Field in Birmingham, Alabama, the site where the Birmingham Black Barons of the Negro Leagues played for nearly 40 years and where more than 180 future Hall of Famers showcased their skills. The event, dubbed MLB at Rickwood Field, a tribute to the Negro Leagues, will pay homage to... Is it homage or homage?
I think it's homage, but I think you would have me say homage because you don't like when I say Houston.
Okay, good point, Chris. So we're going to go with homage today.
All right.
And they're going to pay homage to the stadium's rich history. It also is going to be a time to remember the life and legacy of Willie Mays, who passed away at the age of 93 on Tuesday. Chris, will we still be talking about Willie Mays 50 years from now?
Oh, are you kidding? Of course we will. And, I mean, we're talking about Babe Ruth 100 years after he played, and we're talking about Willie Mays for 500 years after he plays. So, I mean, he's the standard for, you know, the way the game's supposed to be played. I mean, hitting with power and speed, and there's still probably never been a better center fielder, and that's 50 years ago, and there's probably still never been a better base runner, and that's 50 years ago. Yeah, Willie's, you know, it's like kind of what they said Jerry West passed. You know, there are legends, and then there's Jerry West. I mean, the same goes, and maybe even more so, for Willie Mays.
I mean, how about that, though? I mean, you lose those two guys, two iconics.
Yeah.
I mean, you can make the argument that they need to change the MLB logo to Willie Mays, right? And
wouldn't that be a great idea, Rob
to
Manfred?
Have both of those, you lose both of those guys in a span of, what, a week?
Yeah.
It's crazy. Life comes at you fast.
I think that's a great idea, though, Tony.
Change it to Willie Mays?
I mean, the silhouette,
it's
nobody. It's just some guy standing there waiting for a ball to come in. Make it Willie Mays.
Some guy. I mean, that is what baseball is.
Make it Willie Mays.
I don't wrong disagree. With that. I don't disagree at all. Like him catching the ball over his shoulder or something.
Or just even his famous, you could tell his silhouette from his follow-through and his batting stance.
Uh-huh.
Either way.
Okay.
Number three.
All right. So owners in the NFL are getting a little scared about these quarterback contracts. And so more eyebrows are being raised at the inevitability of record-setting dollar amounts at the position every time someone signs a new deal. The league is well aware of the situation, according to NFL media, with some team owners privately discussing the possibility of a separate cap on quarterback salaries. The reasoning, Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network said on the Rich Eisen Show, is that, quote, at some point you want quarterback numbers to not go over a certain percent of your salary cap. For example, the Bengals' Joe Burrow earns an NFL-leading average of $55 million a year on the extension he signed last season, which means his deal alone is projected to account for nearly 25% of the Bengals' entire cap for 2024. The idea, according to Pelissero, has not really gained traction among NFL owners, but they are thinking about it in part because so many teams have paid their quarterback already. So the owner's like, I don't care anymore. I already paid my guy. Tony, should quarterbacks have a salary cap on their position?
Absolutely not. Okay. Owners trying to somehow get more money back in this whole...
There he goes. He's right.
I mean, what this is... Oh, wait, the money's going up too much.
Yeah, they don't have to sign these contracts, the owners, you know.
Exactly.
Nobody's holding a gun to their head. They're the ones
that
willingly
do it. They want a quarterback, they have to.
Listen, my dad used to tell me this all the time as it pertains to cap, no cap, right? And you're seeing it right now. They have a cap in the NFL. Yet they still can't be saved from themselves, ultimately. And so you can put a cap in all you want. Eventually, that becomes the conversation if the sport is still growing and still making money, right? Because they have a cap. Now they want to cap quarterbacks. Like, that's no. The answer, short answer, no, they don't.
Chris, do quarterbacks need their own salary cap?
Absolutely not. But I think that every quarterback should automatically make a certain amount of money if they're a starting quarterback, which means it's time the 49ers pay Brock Purdy so that they have to get on a level playing field with the rest of the NFL. The 49ers have a huge advantage.
How did the 49ers get brought into
this?
Because
they're the only team in the league that has a quarterback making $5 who's a starter.
Oh, I'm sorry, they found a good quarterback.
Therefore, able to pay the rest of their roster and get more players than everybody. Chris, that is an inherent advantage that they and only they have.
Chris, the check is going to come due soon, though, brother.
We will be
laughing and having a good old hearty time when they can't afford to pay somebody. Because somebody, I mean, McCaffrey's got paid. They're trying to tell us they want to keep Ayuk.
No, I'm Ayuk over is, Ayuk. Get
Ayuk
out of here.
Has told us differently, right? They paid Williams, right? The offensive tackle, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yes, yes. What's his name?
Eventually, that check is coming due, Mr. 49er fan.
I can't wait.
I know it's coming.
But unfortunately, we have to wait another year or two before it does.
And that means we have to put up with you.
You know what's even better about it, Chris? As long as they don't win while it's cheap, we get to keep burying Mr. Scraby.
It will hurt, though, when they sign Brock Purdy to the biggest
contract
of the NFL history, because just seems how that goes. Brock Purdy deserves it, though. He's a great guy.
Yes, he does. Yes, give the man his money.
Pay the man when he's supposed to be paid.
Give the man his money and take some of those free star players you have on your team.
You know what? Ayuk is just like posting on TikTok conversations that he's having with Jaden Daniels now. So he can go if he doesn't want to be a 49er. He can leave.
Well, is he not allowed to talk to Jaden Daniels? Is that like against the law?
No, but this whole offseason with Ayuk,
Scraby takes it personally. If anybody...
Scraby, pay the man. He wants to be paid.
I said pay him. I don't know that he's worth top five wide receiver money, which he thinks that
now
he's
not worth top five.
He might be worth top 15.
If Mr. Debo is hurt and you need a wide receiver to get you some yaks, he's getting it for you.
You know what?
Now you don't know if he's worth it. Ain't that something?
Just get rid of one of them, because I'm tired of both of them complaining in the offseason about their
sure you
listen
are.
Listen to the guy.
Sure, you're tired of them complaining until you lose the first two games of the season because you got rid of them.
All right.
Number two.
You guys know me too well. Speaking of a guy who's under some fire, Deion Sanders, Coach Prime, shared a hopeful message on X I think it was over the weekend, about what's ahead for his Colorado football locker room, but once again denied the report that he forced his players to attend the Prime Weekend Lil Wayne concert to support Shador's rapping, and that such an action caused an exodus from the program in the May transfer portal window. He tweeted, quote, "Even the lies can't stop what God is doing with this program, with our beautiful city, concerning our wonderful campus, these hardworking young men, and the campers that's coming this week. I absolutely love it." Now, Athlon Sports' Steve Corder started the media firestorm by reporting from his team source that Dion making the Lil Wayne concert mandatory was the final straw for several CU players. Quote, "The Wayne concert was the final straw for a few players who hit the transfer portal. When Coach Prime told us we all had to be there to support Shador as a rapper, they were not happy at all. To be honest, it was nothing but a huge distraction, and daddy ball was being played." Not really sure what daddy ball is, but end quote.
What are we talking about here?
Yeah, I don't know.
We're talking
is
about
there a question in
yes,
our future?
Yes, yes, yes. Who do you believe, Chris?
Who, Deion Sanders or Steve from Athlon Magazine?
Steve. No. Yes, I guess yes.
Yeah. I think it just gave you the answer to that one.
Dang it! Why can't you work for a more reputable source, Steve?
Athlon Magazine is going to make Deion Sanders worry?
Chris, you literally took the words. I was about to say,
yeah.
What is Avalon? I've
yeah,
never
what
heard
is that?
Athlon.
No,
Athlon.
I think I've heard
either
of it.
Either one of them. I've never heard of either of them.
I think Deion's going to get the last laugh. I don't know, but I'm going to root for him to get the last laugh on all the Deion naysayers out there who want him to fail. And I think a lot of people, for some reason, want him to fail because he's doing it his way or the highway. And I say more power to him.
I can't believe you do this. Tony, who do you believe in this whole thing? Steve?
Steve. Definitely don't believe Steve.
He doesn't believe Steve either.
I don't believe Steve at all. And I would like to know who these couple of transfer portal guys are, too.
Yeah.
Like the backup.
Probably runner. Guys that aren't playing, exactly.
Yeah, it's usually
I mean, if my coach told me I had to go listen to Shador rap, yeah. I'd be
if,
out too.
And if you were the starting wide receiver making $500,000 a year, you'd go to the concert. But if you were a backup two-bit defensive tackle making $10,000, you'd say, yeah, it's my ticket out of here.
Number one.
The Kansas City Chiefs unveiled their rings, and Chris might be a little angry at the disrespect that the ringmakers showed towards the Dolphins.
Yeah, I saw those.
But so they debuted the rings on the inside of the ring, which commemorates their championship. The score of each of the Chiefs' postseason victories is listed, including the seeding of each opponent. The ring has the Miami Dolphins listed as a 7th seed, when in fact, Chris, they were a
6th seed playing like a 7th seed.
I was looking for the 6th seed.
Yeah.
Now this was talked about on the Kelsey podcast because it was kind of hilarious. But Jason Kelsey pointed out that, you know, the major goof that's on the ring. Travis Kelsey said, "I don't give a bleep." I can't say the rest of it because there's an F word in that. He's like, "No, I like it that we didn't give a bleep about what seed Miami is. They were 7th. Who cares?" No, they were actually 6th. "They could have done no seeds on the side of them. I would have been fine." So Travis Kelsey said that the ring, actually, the error makes the ring his most unique ring that he has, because that is true. Now, Tony, should they care about the mistake on the ring?
Who?
That's a good question.
Should the Dolphins write a letter of complaint to the league office?
Because they're not going to redo these.
Because they're not recognized properly?
Should the Chiefs organization care?
No. No. I mean, I'm sure they would have liked to gotten it right. I mean, I'm sure you don't spend this kind of money and hope that you have a misspelled name or any of that stuff in there. But I think ultimately they'll make do with it being a, what is it, an incorrect 6th seed, I believe?
Or no, yeah, seven. They're saying it's a 7th seed when they were actually a 6th seed.
They've trashed the Miami Dolphins image. A 7th seed. We would never be a 7th seed except for the year before when they were a 7th seed. I don't think the Dolphins have a lot to complain
about.
Yeah,
maybe they just got it mixed up.
Yeah. That's it. Mistakes happen is all I'll say. I know they did an interview the other day.
Mistakes happen? This is a massive mistake.
Listen, they did an interview the other day with Julia Louis-Dreyfus, the actress from Seinfeld.
Hey.
And she talked about when she was inducted into the Hollywood Walk of Star fame and got her star on Hollywood Boulevard.
Uh-huh.
They mispronounced her middle name, Louis. They spelled it Luis.
Oh, they spelled it.
It's supposed to be L-O-U-I-S. They spelled it L-U-I-S. And she went to be inducted and, you know, get her whole honorable moment. And she looks down and they got her name spelled wrong.
That's really funny.
Mistakes happen.
That's really funny.
It's all right.
All right, when we get back, Chris versus the fans. It's been a while since we played at 833-288-0973. Get in line.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.